Well, this morning, I'm going to go back over. I've been ministering on the name of Jesus and the authority concerning that name. You know, I want to encourage some things, because we'll get over, I don't know if we'll this Sunday get into it. I don't think so, but teaching concerning the name of Jesus, praying, the authority that we have in that name. But we need to grab these things today in authority because of what God desires and what He wants to do. One of the things I want to share with you, it's a little different than this subject, but when God starts to speak and to reveal things to people, it's good that we bring them out. There's one thing is I've noticed in these last days here, especially the last few years, God seems to be revealing a lot of things that are relevant specifically to our time right now. And we understand that's important. You know, we could, there could be a lot of things we could talk about from the Word, but I find is the more, just like over and studying and things, and I've got over and studying some in Esther and some things with Moses, and God keeps revealing me things about them that is relevant to our time, right now that we're in. You know, you go to a lot of churches, and a lot of churches are just sort of, they're preaching things that are good things, but a lot of it isn't relevant. You know, it's what you got to do right now. What about right now, you know? We can talk about a lot of things and say a lot of stuff, but what are right now we're facing and right now what is going on? You know, I look at some, you know, I get things in the mail and stuff and things, and I get, you know, emails and stuff and ministers saying what they're preaching on and doing. And I think, you know, it's just, they're preaching stuff just like everything's going on the same. And it's like, it is not. I mean, the body of Christ is facing some things, and God wants the body to have victory, and they're just preaching like, well, put some money in the offering, it'll all turn out okay, and just do a little of this. And they talk about faith, but it's in a very weak, you know, state, and they're just talking about, you know, well, we're Christians, and God's good to us, and God loves us. Man, there's Christians that are getting buried today. God loved them, but they didn't know what to do, and life took them over. It's like, we got to know what to do. I don't want to know to do in this time and the time that we're living in. It's one of the things that the Lord has been dealing with, the emphasis on the name of Jesus. He's been talking to me about it because really the church hasn't had faith in that name. The church hasn't really walked in faith in the name of Jesus. You need to understand, you know, dealing with the areas of prayer alone, Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name. So it's faith that that name will produce for you from the Father what you ask for. I don't care if you're standing on the right scripture. You don't get to go to dad and get it because you're standing on the right scripture. The reason you can get what you ask for is because the authority of the name of Jesus. That's what gets it for you. I have a right to have my prayers answered because I believe that that name will get it for me. It's the authority in that name. You know? I mean, if I went to the bank and I went in and I didn't have the right account number, or if I had the right account number, but didn't have the right name, they ain't going to give the stuff to me. It's the name. And we need to understand this. The church has always been working over here. The authority that we have is in Jesus. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. Jesus has been put on the sidelines in the church world today, and that's the mess that's going on. Jesus isn't in the forefront anymore in the church. He just says that nice guy died, and he's that nice guy, you know, was raised from the dead, and he left. And now we're down here, and, you know, we're just going along, and we say, well, we love Jesus and all that. That's all nice stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, it don't get you nothing. You can't live a victorious life. And the victorious life is lived through the name of Jesus Christ and faith in that name. God is revealing to us things that He desires to do in the earth. But I want to talk to you about this because of where we're in now and God, things that God's doing. We're on the verge right now of part of the mightiest breakthrough of God that's going to enter this planet has ever entered it. There's going to be greater demonstration of God in the earth than there was when Jesus Christ walked this earth. You know, after Jesus' death and burial resurrection, He set something loose into the earth that man has played around with on and off of times. But God, man has never walked in the fullness of it. When Jesus left, He said, greater things you'll do than I did because I'm going to the Father. He told the disciples, you're going to do greater things. Well, see, the church didn't understand the resurrection of Jesus really set forth the power of God in the earth. And it's through faith in His name. Randall Greer had a vision here a few weeks back. He had a vision, and he talked about the things. And in the vision, he saw a whirlwind coming down from heaven, coming down to the earth. And he talked some things about it, and I want to say to encourage us, because we are, I know when I heard him talk about this, it just was things that the Lord had been dealing with me on, and it just really bared witness. But he said, in the vision, he said, this whirlwind that was coming down, he said, this whirlwind had in it different things. And he said, one of the things that we know is a whirlwind is a powerful wind, like a tornado coming down. He said, but this whirlwind has the power of God, and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit are in this whirlwind. But he said, this whirlwind is going to come down. And he said, this whirlwind comes down. It's going to bring the power of God in demonstration of the Spirit to the church again, and really to the world. It's one of the things that is, if you look back at things that Kenneth Hagin had talked about. Kenneth Hagin was caught up to heaven years ago. And Jesus took him into a garden. And Jesus walked him into a garden. And in this garden, there was a river flowing. And in that garden, that river that was flowing, it was all these people. He said the river was really people. And it was people flowing into the kingdom. And he said people of all denominations and all groups and all races were coming into the kingdom. And really, that had to do with the charismatic renewal. And he told him, he said, you're going to see these people. They're going to end up coming to your meetings and things and coming in. And these people are going to come from all over and come in. And really, the charismatic renewal, that's what that was. But Brother Hagin said this about that vision. He said, that wasn't fulfilled. He said, that's not going to be, it wasn't fulfilled, he said, in the charismatic renewal. He said, this river is yet to come. This flow is yet to come. And see, it's for the last days. The fulfillment of that is for these last days. Well, Randall Greer just saw the thing in a different way through this whirlwind that was coming down. You know, you look in the scriptures, and the scriptures talks numbers of times about whirlwind. It says God's in the whirlwind. It talks about it. It used to God. A whirlwind is what took Elijah up to heaven. He went up in a whirlwind. He didn't go in no chariot like they preach. That's, you know, people preach that and say that. He didn't go up. The Bible says that he went up in a whirlwind. And a whirlwind came and took him away. And but the whirlwind is talked through the scriptures, and it's revealed, you know, in the scriptures concerning this thing. But this whirlwind, he said, is coming down. It's also going to do something. He said this whirlwind is going to first hit the church, but it's also going to take some things out of the church that aren't supposed to be in the church. There's doctrines that are going to be taken out of the church. They're going to end up leaving the church. It's also going to be in that, there's going to be judgment. People who want to keep going their merry way that they've always been going, and that stuff, and they want to stick to their little false doctrines and have them. I'll tell you what, there's judgment coming for those individuals. There's judgment coming. There's going to be judgment coming on ministries. There's going to be judgment coming because people have founded their own churches and not the church of Jesus Christ. Many are following their own will and their own plans and their own purposes. They have their own ideas of what God wants to do. God, either they'll repent and turn. But see, a whirlwind, this whirlwind is going to bring good, but it's also going to bring things in judgment. Hallelujah. Well, for the church, for those who follow God, I want to tell you, it's one of the things he said, there's going to be a shakeup all across from not just in the church, but also in the secular side. There's going to be all kinds of things get shaken up in this thing. Well, did you ever notice when a whirlwind comes, things get shaken up. Things get torn up sometime. He said to this, though, is one of the things he said, people who are following God don't have anything to worry about. God's going to take care of them. He said, many people are going to have great loss. They don't follow God, they're going to have great loss. Great loss. But he said, the ones that will follow God, they're going to be blessed in this thing. And we're going to see the anointing of God come back to the church again. Hallelujah. And the power and the demonstrations of God again in the earth. And many are going to flow into the kingdom again. We're going to see a greater measure of it than we did during the charismatic renewal. And I don't know if any of you guys were around during that. Man, I'm going to tell you what. People came into the kingdom of all different groups. God visited. It didn't matter who it was. He visited. And some of you know the people out here that thought they had the corner on the market got upset because God visited, you know, the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, the Catholics, and they didn't like that. They didn't like these folks getting filled with the Holy Ghost. They didn't like it. There was loads of the Spirit-filled groups didn't like during that time. I remember the opposition that we used to get I was in a full gospel businessman. They didn't like it. Why are you getting those Catholics? They can't be getting full of the Holy Ghost, you know. That's a Catholic. They know that. That's a person. If they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're saved. They're a child of God. See, we cast the devil out of you, you'd get happy again. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, a lot of junk goes on in that stuff. I'll tell you, but God's moving, and He'll move just like He did then, but in a much greater way. Kenneth Hagin prophesied that there's a healing revival that's going to come that's going to be far greater than any healing revival, and he lived through the healing revival here in America and was really a great part of God used him. But he said it's going to be greater than anything they've seen. It's going to be a thing worldwide. It's going on. Azusa Street type of things are going to be worldwide. Signs, wonders, miracles. Why? Because Jesus is coming. And I want you to understand this. This is about getting ready. Now's the time to get ready. Jesus is coming back. Jesus told Kenneth E. Hagin in 1950 in a vision. He said one of the things he criticized the church for was he said Christians talk about going to heaven, but he said they're not saying anything to the lost. And he said you need to invite people to come along with you. I want the Lord's been dealing with me with this for a number of years here lately about we need to invite people. We need to begin to start to tell people we're leaving. See, I've got all these people telling me they believe Jesus has come. I'm waiting for somebody to start talking like it's true. Most of the church world, most preachers plan on staying and building bigger stuff. We ain't building no bigger barns. Ed's getting ready to leave. Ed's going to leave. I'm getting ready to leave. Jesus Christ is coming back. Jesus Christ is coming back. I'm getting ready to leave. Hallelujah. We need to tell people, start telling people, we're leaving. See, maybe you don't believe it. Well, I'll tell you what. I hang around God. I can't get any other thing going than I'm leaving. Hallelujah. This move of God's coming, it's not going to be a long one. It's not going to be a long of years and years of move of God. This is going to be a great short move, leave. And Jesus Christ is coming and the church will be gone. The church is leaving. Hallelujah. We're gone. This is our time. This is the days that I live for. Glory to God. This is what I was born again for in this earth. Is for this short period of time that's going to take place in this move of God, and it's going to shake the world. And you'll find out who's in and who's out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Jesus is coming back. So get ready. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, go hang out with God. If you don't believe what I say is true, you don't have to believe it because I say it. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. Hallelujah. You find out. But you need to hear from God for yourself. Get settled in yourself. I'm leaving. Hallelujah. And I'm getting ready to leave. The Lord told me that back in 1987. Hallelujah. He talked to me about it. We're getting ready to leave. And not many people are really getting ready to leave. We've gotten so this thing of, well, we see the end times, but a lot of people just don't believe it. A lot of the church world's in the thing that the Scripture tells. Peter said, you know, they'll say, well, you know, they've said this before. You know that people have said it, and they're going to go on with it, and they're saying it again. And I'm going to tell you what, if you can't see the signs, man, you need another dip. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're teaching on the name of Jesus. I just wanted to share that because I tell you what, we're stepping into a thing of glory here. Hallelujah. This is what we've been waiting for. You know, people say, well, what about, you can get all over concerned about all the judgment and all the things. God starts judging things. He judges things for a purpose, and the purpose of judgment is to bring things back into line so His glory can be revealed. That's the purpose. If you don't want judgment, you don't want the glory. You'll never see it. Hallelujah. It's to bring things in line. That's what it does. It brings things back into line again. And you want things back into line or you'll never see the glory. It doesn't come. The glory can never come to Israel till Israel would be brought in line. They'd get out of line with God. God would judge and bring them back in line so He could reveal His glory again. That never changes. Grace don't change none of that. That's why today we haven't had the glory because the church has been all out of line. The church has been living way out of line so the glory can't be revealed. God is bringing things back into alignment so the glory can be revealed again. Hallelujah. God ain't going to pour the glory out on a bunch of tramps and whores. They ain't going to do it. So He calls us to get back in line. Hallelujah. You know, today what they call good Christian, my words, when I came into the kingdom, they'd have called it, my God, you need to get saved. And they call them good Christian today. My God, I mean, people are just lying and doing everything else. And I say, well, they're a good person. Christians say this stuff. They're a good person. I think, my God, we cast the devil out of you, it'd be good. My words, can't even identify good anymore. People can't identify what's good. Glory to God. So we need a real change. Hallelujah. We're teaching on the authority that's in that name of Jesus. And I pray that you grab a hold of this and get a hold of this. We need to come back to the glory of this great name that we have and this authority that you and I have because of this name and come back to that faith in the name. Think, you get saved by faith in the name. You don't get saved because you ask Jesus into your heart. You're saved because of faith in the name. That name saves you. The Bible says there's no other name under heaven where men can be saved. It don't say in any other prayer. It's every other name. It's the authority of the name. It's believing on the name is gets people saved. I mean, they say they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's hardly even mentioned in their gospel. You know, he's just a guy praying, just, you know, use his name one time. This is it. You know? And really, we've taken it and made it into, you know, something, I mean, that was... It's so significant and made it into just a trivial thing, you know, that we're just, you know, it's like a little name we tack on to the end of prayers, you know, and we just throw it on there and don't expect it to none of it to happen, none of it to come to pass, you know. The name of Jesus has lost its power because men have lost their faith in it, and if we're not preached and we're not studying it, we're not looking what the scripture says, you know, it's just like when I made mention, you know, concerning Elijah taking up on a whirlwind. You don't know how much of the church world, you know, you go online and look and go look in books. They always have Elijah in this fiery chariot going someplace. Unscriptural. I mean, people can't even read words in a book anymore. You know, they can't. Everybody gets up. They get their nice little religious ideas and their religious thinking. We need to go back to the book. We need to come back to the book again and get in this book, this wonderful, glorious book. Hallelujah. And let the Holy Ghost teach us what it says. Hallelujah. Kenneth Hagin used to say this. He said, the church is major in the minor. Anything that's minor, they know all about. And anything that's important, they ain't got a clue. They don't know nothing about it. They've majored in the minors. And... praise God. I'm going to tell you what, we need to bring more preaching, and there will be in this last days, more preaching about Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is the head of the church. Hallelujah. No ministry is ahead of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And if anybody, we need to know who's doing what, we need to know what he's doing. We need to hear from heaven what he's saying, what he wants to reveal. I want him to show me. I don't want some strange doctrine. I don't want, you know, show me what's true. You don't have to, you know, it don't have to be extravagant. My words, just what the scriptures say about this name, if we would believe it, hallelujah, will turn this world upside down. Glory to God. Last week, I read a definition that I put together to the extent of what Jesus's authority lies. In other words, the authority that's in this name. And I'm going to read it again today because I just think it's just it covers the gamut of what if Jesus was given all authority in heaven and earth, like the scripture says. I mean, if I don't understand what the word authority means, it could probably mean not too much to a person. Say, Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and earth. What most people don't even know what it means today as authority. Because we live in a society today where you don't have to listen to authority anymore. You don't pay no attention to authority. So the word authority is just something that's just thrown out there today. Christianity, you know, we don't confess that Jesus is Lord. Paul said, accepting Christ, you got to confess him as Lord, you know. People don't think, confess him as Lord. What does that mean? What does Lord mean? People don't know. We don't use it. And so today, I mean, nobody's Lord. You know this, I mean, the church chokes when they go over and read in the New Testament where Sarah called Abraham Lord. Oh, my words. That don't fit our culture today, and it don't fit in the church nowhere today. We don't want to hear words like this. We don't want to hear these words, that somebody would be submitted to something. Because most Christians are, most people in America who call themselves a Christian are not submitted to Christ. They're not submitted at all to Christ. They live their own lives. They do whatever they want and then ask God to bless it. That's the way they live. You know, I'm going to go out here and follow my own plans, my own purposes, and then I'm going to pray and ask God to bless me in it. Thank God he is merciful. You know, we sing about his mercy. Man, I'm going to tell you what. Every day you ought to thank God for his mercy. Because I tell you, you and I, none of us would be alive today. Because if he would have given us what we have deserved at times, he surely is merciful. Hallelujah. He's good. But I'm going to read you this. This is about our Jesus. This is the extent of his authority. Jesus would be the power to enforce law, exact obedience, command to determine or judge. He would be the one that is invested with the power of government and bodies of governmental officials. He would be able to assign power to others and authorize ones to use power. Jesus would have authority over all agencies with administrative power in every specific field in the spiritual and physical world of all physical and spiritual beings. He would be the accepted source of expert information or advice, and his quotations or citations from a source such as the Bible would have authority over all moral arguments. His statements or decisions should be taken as our guidelines and legal precedent. We should recognize his power to influence or persuade us resulting from his knowledge and his experience. Hallelujah. And that's the extent that engulfs all things of authority. I mean, when I went back over and writing this thing down, I thought, my God, you know, there's areas that I could sure improve in that in submission. There's areas. But I want you to understand this. It's not to make us feel guilty. It's to understand that this Jesus, with all this authority that he has in heaven and earth, the authority, all this authority in the earth has been delegated to the church. In the earth, it's been delegated to the church. And the church has been preaching for centuries, God's in control, God's in control, God's in control, God's in control. Well, it's like one sinner said, Kenneth Hagin used to always repeat it, one sinner said, if God's in control, he has sure made a mess of things. God's in control of all the kids dying out there today. God's in control of all that. God's over in Africa killing kids. I'll tell you what, God's in his kind. This is God in control. Church world preaches it. I can turn on TV and I could hear that every day of every week. My God, they make songs out of it, become popular. God is in control. What on earth do you mean about that when you say? Now, I could myself be allowing God to be in control of my life, but God is in control of everything. I don't know how God is in control in your life. That's up to you, how much God can control. And in this earth, you know, is God in control of America? It's just like I was sitting with a guy. I mean, he's a leader in a church, and you know, he sits down and tells me, you know, he sits there and talks to me about, he's talking to me about the election. I'm just listening to him. I didn't say anything about it. I thought I didn't want to get into discussion with him because I knew where he was spiritually. But he's sitting there, he's a born again man, you know, he loves the Lord. And I know, you know, he wants to live a right life, but he's talking all about this stuff, the election, all this stuff. But he said, well, it don't matter how it goes, God will have the man in that he wants. And I thought, I just felt like, you know, reaching across the desk and slapping him upside the head and saying, you realize how stupid you are? If God, then I don't even have to vote. Nobody has to do nothing. We don't have to pray. Why would I waste my time praying about anything? If God's going to end up with what he wants, what are we doing? God isn't ending up with what he wants. God had no intent that America should be in the situation it's in today. We did this. We did this by preaching God's in control. The majority of the church believes that. You let somebody die, a Christian die today, that you know, somebody that's 50 years old that should be living longer drops over dead. Well, God had a reason for killing them. You know, God had a reason. He had a reason for taking that man away from his wife, you know, and leaving her here alone. He had a reason. See, what's the matter? Is that guy lonely or something? What's wrong with him? See, I'll tell you how people think about God. See, to me, most Christians worship a God who we would probably have in a mental hospital treating for schizophrenia. But they preach and then they say, you know, you got to love this guy. My God, love him. Dear Lord, people get divorces for less than what he's done. I hate to hear it because, number one, you know, you could badmouth me and call me about anything, and some of it may be true. But don't badmouth God. You'll make me mad. I can get angry quick about that. You talk bad about God, I might get in your face. You talk bad about me, well, you know, so what? But I hate it when people, I literally hate it when people talk bad about God and accuse him of what evil does and says it's him at work. And I'll tell you what, if it don't make you mad, you need to get in with God. You need to come to the place, I'm going to tell you what, because you're never going to really grow in faith. If those things are can just come into you and you'll just all push them off to the side, you don't always have trouble. I'm going to tell you, my God's good. My God's good. And when I call on him, he answers. Hallelujah. And when I mess up, he forgives me right away as soon as I ask. Hallelujah. That's my God. He's a good guy. He's not the bad guy. He's not trying to kill Ed. My God, he has probably worked very hard keeping me alive. Because I'll tell you, for 30 years of my life, I did all kinds of things to kill myself. And he was working to keep me alive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for his great love and mercy. But our God, to think that he delegated this great authority and he's given it to you and I, all because, now think about this, you don't get it because of one day you do something wonderful, or you achieve some great thing spiritually, and then he gives you this authority. Everybody that gets born again in the kingdom is handed this authority on the day that they're born again. Now, the church hasn't taught the authority, so people don't know. Even though they have it, they don't know. They don't know that the authority has been given to them. They still think that Jesus, you talk to most Christians about authority, well, Jesus, yeah, he has all authority. Well, what good does that do me if he has all authority? That doesn't mean I can have anything. It means he can have everything. He can rule over everything. But what does it do for Ed, and what does it do for you? It's only what that authority is delegated to me that can make a difference for me right here. And just think about this. You got born again. When you got born again, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, had done nothing great, nothing good at this point, just got born again, he handed you this authority. I mean, here you are, a baby. To me, you know, I often thought with God sometimes, you get over your mind thinking about this from a natural statement. See, Lord, that's like handing a baby a loaded gun. You know, it's just like, this authority is handed over here and is handed into this. And it's just, it's dumped on us. It's given to us. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. See, I personally believe this, and it's not to criticize the church, but we need to get some things straight in the church world. I believe the church has been the greatest destroyer in the world because we have the most authority. I believe we're the reason so much is messed up. Because we have used our authority to destroy. We have this authority and we're walking around with this gun and we're just pulling the trigger. But we're pulling at all the wrong things and all the wrong stuff and saying the wrong things and talking the wrong stuff. And we're pulling this trigger and we're binding God and loosing the devil. Do you know, nothing will change. You know, there's one thing is I've always wanted to find out. If I messed up, I want to know. I want to know. If I'm missing it with God, I want to know. Because I don't want to continue on the path. You know, it's not always fun to find out that, you know, you've been the idiot. But, you know, the church needs to come to the conclusion. And I'll tell you what, even the best in the church need to come. We've been missing it on stuff. There's stuff that we've been missing. We've been causing problems. And we need to come to that. Because if we don't, nothing changes. If we don't stop and say, hey, hold it. We've been given this huge authority. I want to know about how it works. I want to know why. See, that's one of the things, one of the greatest things is why the Lord had Kenneth Hagin teach faith, because on the teaching of faith came, you had to teach the Word and learning how God operates, how God functions, what God does. Well, God's not talked about today. He's not talked about from His side. He's almost always talked about from our side what we can get instead of from His side how it works. How this thing works and what we should be doing in our cooperation with our authority with Him so we can fulfill His plan and His purposes. Because this is the way it's going to work. It's going to work when we find out this authority. Why am I given this authority? What's it for? You know, I don't want to be the guy running around pulling the trigger on the gun, you know? Because I don't know, to me, it seems like it has an unlimited clip. And the church has been just pulling the trigger and nobody has to reload. They can just keep doing it, you know. And it's definitely killing. It's definitely messing things up. And people are pulling the trigger, calling it God. But they don't know what God wants. What does God want? I mean, think about this. If you don't understand from authority, how are you going to, if God doesn't always want to heal people, well, who are we going to lay hands on and expect them to get healed? Who are we going to do this in the name of Jesus? We've been given the name of Jesus. One of the things it says, we're going to lay hands on the sick. And they'll recover. Well, if I don't believe God wants a person well, who are we going to lay hands on? How are we going to do this stuff? What are we going to? When the church doesn't have a clue, when they think God's doing the killing, the stealing, and the destroying, well, who are we going to minister this stuff to? Because should I be praying for a guy God wants to kill? You need to understand this. If you don't know God wants you well, you should not even be asking anybody to pray for you because that would be out of the will of God. If God wants you dead and you're asking to get healed, well, you're running in contrary to God. You should never be asking somebody. I've done that, sort of got some people to choke already with that because they come up and ask me, I said, you believe God wants you well? Well, I don't know, sometimes he does. I said, well, I can't pray for you until you find out because maybe he wants you dead and I don't want to get out of the will of God trying to help you out. So you just better go die. And they just look at you like, you know, most people need a hit with a hammer because that's the only way to get their attention. You know? We're living in the world of stupid and it's running rampant. But it's in the church, and we need to know. If somebody don't believe God wants them well, what are they doing asking you to pray for them? I don't. They'll come and talk to an upright. Hey, get out of the will of God. I believe he wants to kill me, but go ahead and pray for me and be healed. Think of that. But see, they're not doing it from the standpoint that they, you know, that they understand any of that. But they're playing this game of authority. They got this gun, and they're just pulling triggers, hoping something hits a target somewhere, and somewhere, somehow, something works out. They're going through all these things, all this stuff. They don't know if God would get a prayer chain. Maybe somebody can get somebody. People have the idea. You know, if God wants you dead, it's a good thing to just, you know, get things in order and get ready to leave. You know, he's God. What are you going to do? And he like, you know, is Ed going to stand up against him and win? It's like, not much. Be like Ed going in the ring with a guy like, you know, Muhammad Ali, and his career, he was really good. He was like, just get the stretcher, haul Ed out. Get the stretcher ready, you know, and stuff, and have a doctor definitely standing by, and probably something to put those bones back together. We're going to haul Ed out. And we need to get over. See, if people don't think, and this is why, you know, the Word of God brings us to a place of wonderful reasoning. It's the truth that makes us free. If something isn't leading us to freedom, it's not the truth. It's not true. If something leads me into more bondage and more confusion, and to me, just the simplicity of God is good. You know, last week we talked about the fact that God didn't kill people, that people had to be turned over to Satan. But I want you to know this. Do you realize the authority that the church has? That Satan cannot get to people in the church on certain things until they're turned over? The church has to, God don't, the church must turn them over. You know why sin is rampant in the church world today? It's because the church is the protector of it. People sit around and say, I wonder why God don't deal with that. We're always asking, wondering why God, praying to God about things that's our authority. The church is supposed to be, you know, the church ain't only supposed to take people in, it's supposed to put some people out. They did it in the New Testament. We all say, I want a New Testament church. That's the last thing people want today is a New Testament church. They don't want a New Testament church. They want an American church. I want a New Testament church. Wow, you'll be gone in 10 minutes. Do you want that? They're going to turn you over to the devil. But see, we have, it's like they go to the church world today. The church world today is rampant with, you know, sexual stuff and all kind of things going on, you know. People, you know, just doing whatever they want to do. And nobody does. In the church, the New Testament church, that wasn't allowed to go on. That wasn't allowed. Had a guy sexually out of line, unrepentant. And Paul said, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. He didn't say, start a ministry to him. You know, maybe we can help to try to get him to quit. You let the devil get a hold of him and want to quit. I want to tell you, you need to understand this. There are some people, if the devil can't have them, they'll never change. You're going to keep them on the same path and will never change. Some people need to be, some Christians need to leave this world. And that's by the love and mercy of God. They need to leave this world because if they keep on the same path they're on, they're going to eventually separate themselves from God and they'll be lost for eternity. Their sin is going to leave them to the place where they won't want Jesus no more. That's what turning people over to the destruction of the flesh is for. That's why the guy in Corinth, it said there that his soul might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. God's all more interested in people making it to heaven than living with you. We are selfish and self-centered. We're always trying to keep everybody to us. God has one interest, that people be saved. That's his own. That's the top of the interest. That's the top of the interest. God wants people to go to heaven. And if a person needs to die in this earth so they can make it to heaven, if that's the only way they can do it, then God will let it happen that way. Why? Because he wants them in heaven. Many people have been lost over the centuries because Christians in their selfishness are more important to wanting the person for themselves than they do wanting them with God. It's good preaching anyhow, folks. It's the truth. It's number one. I want people saved. I want to run into people in heaven, just not have them hanging out here in the earth. There's people that need to leave this Christians that are better off leaving this earth now while they have a walk with God. Kenneth Hagin even told some stories about individuals who he had a guy he went to pray for, you know, for healing. The guy had been a Christian and he laid hands on him. And when he laid hands on him, he said he had his eyes closed, laid the hand on a man, and he said, I could feel like a hand took my hand and took it off of him. And he said, I opened my eyes. I said, I thought the guy pushed my hand off of him. And he said, the guy had his eyes closed. He was laying on a bed, and he said, so I put my hand back on again, and he said, started to pray, and he said, my hand moved off. Opened his eyes, so he did the third time. I don't know why people... I've done the same kinds of things already where I will do it three times till I wake up. I think that's a straight wonder why. I don't know. I've done the same things for at least three times. God had to sort of like ring a bell for Ed to wake up. And I thought, Brother Hagin did it. And then Brother Hagin finally said to the Lord, Lord, what's going on? He said, this man in his entire Christian walk has never walked with me for more than any 2 weeks at a time in his entire Christian walk. Never walked right. He said, this guy has been born again like 40 years, but had never walked right, he said, for no more than 2 weeks at a time had he ever walked with God. He said, he got over involved. He was involved with a woman, ended up in an accident and had a broken back. And the Lord said, I healed him of a broken back. And Brother Hagin found out it was absolutely true. They said he was in the hospital bed and got prayed for. Now this guy, here's a Christian. He's in an adulterous affair, you know. He's laid out, he's in a body cast. And he said, they prayed for him, and he said, glory to God. He said he got healed, and he rolled himself off the bed and to stand up. And they said when he did, he turned completely black. He said, just like, you know, his body just completely black. And he said the guy fell over on the floor. He found out about this, what happened, had happened, absolute miracle. And then turned around and got up completely well and completely healed and broken back. And the Lord said, I did that for him. He said, but he still wouldn't live right. And he said, he's not getting healed now. He's going to die and come home. That's what's going to happen. Now, the Lord didn't kill him, but God can't heal him. The Lord said, he straightened out. I want to get him home. Why? You need to understand this about getting right with the Lord. You may get to heaven, but you know, you need to understand, God wants you to get to heaven with reward. If a person's not living right and dies, they don't get reward when they get to heaven. God is in the reward business. That's what all these promises in the books about in the earth. God wants to reward people all the time. He wants to bless. That's his whole business. He wants to find ways to bless people. In 1987, when Jesus appeared to Kenneth E. Hagin out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, it was in July, beginning of July, appeared to him. Jesus told him, he said, I try to bless my people as much as I can all the time. He said, I try to. In other words, that's Jesus. Jesus, he said, I'm always trying to bless my... That's his whole thing. He said, but my full blessing, he said, is in my perfect will. And he said, you never have to ask me to bless you if you're in my perfect will. You never have to ask. But see, God is in the blessing business. This is, I have learned my Christian walk. If I don't have blessing, there's something wrong on Ed's side. It is never wrong on God's side. Never. God is never withholding. I do things that cause him to withhold. I'm the one. It is never, ever, 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 ever God. And any minister tells you God's keeping it from you for a reason, knock him on the head. It's us. God did everything he could to bless that man, but God said, man, I got to get him to heaven. He keeps this stuff up. I got to get him there because he won't live it here. God's more interested in getting some people to heaven than he is having them living here. He wants them in heaven for their own protection. And we do everything we can to keep them here and wonder why things are a mess. It's because the church is a mess. The church is the mess. The church has this authority and we're running around pulling the trigger and we're killing everything God's trying to do. We need to understand. See, this is about, people talk about the love of God. Do you know what it is? Do you really know? You know, like we celebrate Mother's Day. And you have all these poems out here, and they equate mother's love to God's love. Now, let's get real about this. My mama loved me and was good to me, but many times she didn't act in the love of God. She should have straightened me out on some things that she did not. She let me go with stuff I should have never gotten away with, and I should have never been allowed to. She refused to believe things that were told about me because I was my boy. He wouldn't do that. Because why? Mama didn't have the love of God. She loved her boys selfishly. Well, we all do. I ain't knocking just mamas. I'm just using this as an example. And we have to watch ourselves because we end up a selfish love. We call it the love of God. And it isn't the love of God. It's the love of man. It's man's selfishness. You know, there's things written in the Scriptures. It's amazing, the things that tells you how to deal with stuff in the Scriptures. But when it becomes your kid, then the Scriptures don't matter anymore. That's only for the guy next door. Now, he does that, you'd run over and shoot him. But no, not your own kid. And then we call the love of God. Well, that's not the love of God. God's love don't change for individuals. He don't change for men in just from the standpoint of his family. And see, we need to understand. If we don't understand, you can't develop and grow. You'll never grow because there's areas of your life you'll never allow God to talk into your life on. You'll never let him speak into your life because of our opinions and our ideas of how it works. You ever heard a minister talking about, he was talking about the fact of, he was saying about, you know, some different things, and he said about, then people made remarks concerning his family, and he got ugly about it and that stuff because he made remarks. He said, you don't make remarks about my family. But the whole thing of it is, the remarks made about his family were true. He wasn't straightening things out, and he wanted to be a leader. The Apostle Paul said, a guy, if he can't control his whole family, he ain't even supposed to be a leader. But see, we have this idea of what we call love, and we call this, and we call that. Getting back to the Bible, and I got to throw this stuff at me too. We need to come back. You know, we talk about truth. It's amazing. I remember this stuff used to be talked about. And this is why the church is in its mess today that it's in. It's not talked about anymore. These things aren't discussed because people don't want, you know, I want to go to church. I want to come out. I want to feel great. Well, we're never going to feel great till we'll listen to truth. Because I'll tell you, sin will abound. And if sin abounds, the Bible says sin abounds, grace does much more abound. But grace is no good when everybody just keeps yielding to the sin. No matter how much grace there is out there. And there's grace. And what do we mean? God wants to restore truth back to the church. And not truth, but to put us under, to make us feel lousy. It's to restore truth so He can reveal glory. Glory is going to change a lot of this stuff. There's all kind of people who are going to change if we'll allow the glory to come back again, because that glory will change things about people's flesh. There's going to have to be somebody stand up for the truth. Everybody wants to get things under control, but they don't want to change what they do so things can get under control. Somebody's going to have to walk right so the glory will come. Well, it might as well be Ed learn to walk right. It might as well be me. But you have to decide that. Nobody else can do it for you. You know? And see, the church needs to come back to the place where we become the church again. Where we come to these people and say, man, this Jesus we got, this one that's in all authority, what does He have to say about what I'm doing? What does He have to say? Where does He fit in this thing? Or He just gave me this power and let's just run loose down here. If you look at the apostles in their preaching, especially you look at the apostles that walk with Jesus in the earth. I mean, Jesus was top shelf. He was the heart and soul of everything that went on that they talked about. I mean, you go over and look at the things that they said. You know, the whole thing was, it was all about Jesus. And see, we need to come back to that again. Where it's all about Jesus in the church again, where Jesus does become the Lord of the church and He does come back to be the head of the church once more, that Jesus is the one, hallelujah, that He can allow, are we going to allow Him to have the say in our lives that He wants to have? Can He do that? Can He come back? Well, I'm sure, you know, all of us are at different point stages of growth. There's, you know, and you know, God don't expect the same out of some as He does others. I know this from my own standpoint. God expects, there's a lot of things He expects a lot more out of me. God's revealed a lot more to me about things, and not because I'm special or so spiritual. It's about the office I stand in. He tells me things to preach it to other people, and to myself and other people. That's what it's for. And He reveals stuff to me and stuff that He reveals. You know, I've over the years have had dreams and visions and all kind of stuff, things going on where God brought revelations to me on things and stuff. And all kind of, I've had the Lord, you know, speak to me sometimes so clearly and so audible that it's just like, my words, it's stunning. But all these things, it isn't because Ed's special. My God, loads of things happened to me as a baby Christian. It couldn't have been because I was special or smart. I did some of the dumbest things in those days. My God, He wasn't doing, it's because of what I was called to and what I was called to do. The Lord did tell me this, is one of the things about Revelation. I asked Him one day, why do you show me all this stuff? I said, my words, people go out here and fast and pray and all kind of stuff trying to get stuff, and it seems like I can walk down the street and all of a sudden God will talk to me about something. I think, dear Lord, I could be doing something so dumb and carnal, and in the middle of it, God talked to me. That's always amazed me. You know, because I know people say, there is times you just want to get quiet away with God. But I've had experiences with God sitting in a movie theater, watching a Star Trek movie, and a phrase was mentioned in that movie, and for about 20 minutes of that movie, I don't know what went on in that movie. God talked to me from that for about 20 minutes. He spoke to me, all because there was a trigger that was a set of certain words in that movie. It was like a three-word phrase. And all of a sudden, God started talking to me. And I'm sitting there, my God, and He's just talking, going up to town, telling me stuff. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, isn't this about weird? I'm sitting in a movie theater. I ain't over here fasting and praying about nothing. I'm feeding the flesh. Watching a movie. And God's revealing stuff to me, you know. No, God don't mind. There's stuff we need to do things. I mean, there's things we need to do to relax and go do. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, my words, you have a body, you have flesh. I mean, feed it once in a while, do you good. Hallelujah, give it something good. And doing those things. But, you know, God reveals, and I realize, but I stand in a stricter judgment. The Bible says so. The guy who teaches stands in a stricter judgment. I understand that. But I understand I understand this. When I used to listen to Kenneth Hagin teaching, I used to understand this. That if I wanted to derive where he went to, I was going to have to follow the teachings that he said. God may have a stricter judgment on you, but you're going to have to do what I teach you if you want to get there. If you want to have it. See, I learned Kenneth Hagin. I had to learn faith the way he said it and how he was taught it and how it worked. I had to learn it like that. Why? I learned to practice it the way he said, so I had to learn to do that. Why? To get to where he was, the other things that he taught, I had to learn to do it. I had to practice what he said. When he talked about, you know, spending time with the Lord and doing and studying and stuff, I realized I had to do that. If I wanted to arrive at a place of spirituality, I had to do what he did to go there. Because you're not going to do less and get there. I had to learn that. See, today, it's sort of taught, I don't know if it just sort of happens, if you sit under a good teacher, then you're just going to get some. Look, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, but faith is developed through doing. Faith, that you'll never have strong faith till you do. You don't have strong faith by hearing the Word. Faith comes. You know, when a baby's born, they have muscles, and they have every muscle an adult has. But they ain't very strong, are they? It isn't until they use the muscles. Your faith is not going to produce anything till you get faith muscles, and that's how you do it, by doing what the Word says develops the faith muscles. You can believe everything the Bible says and know it's true, but if you haven't done it, you have no faith power. Doing develops the faith power. The more I learn to practice the Word, like, you know, Mike talks about, you know, financial areas and that stuff, the more I learn about the giving, receiving, and how to do it, the more I could grab a hold of by faith. You know, Wanda and I, we have $250,000 coming to us. Hallelujah. Angels are bringing it in. Now, when I started off with something like that, it had definitely choked me. Wanda and I needed 20 bucks, and we thought that was a biggie. But see, those kind of things, those things, that doesn't bother me now. But I didn't get there just going and sitting in meetings and listening to teaching. That don't get you there. It's by doing the Word. It's by doing it. You know, you start practicing. One of the things Mike's talking about is in a practice, expectation. Most people want something, but they have no expectation for it. They call it faith, and it ain't faith at all. There's no faith. They aren't expecting it to come. They ain't even act like it's get there. If it showed up, they'd be shocked. I'm going to tell you what, if $1 million showed up on my doorstep tomorrow, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I wouldn't surprise me in the least. Somebody said, oh my God, look what happened. Dear Lord, God's been trying to get millions to me for years, and I was stupid. The fact that it would come, dear Lord, I'm just surprised it ain't come yet. No, I'm not. Hallelujah. But we just stand in faith. We believe God. We walk with God. We put it out there. But see, it's over time of practice. See, I spent years of practice and giving. A lot of practice and giving. I learned to practice. I learned how to learn to keep practice and giving till I became a cheerful giver. There's some here, that's your problem. You're not a cheerful giver. You're going to have to keep practicing until you get the place where you're happy. When it comes to how you can give, man, I'll tell you what, I'm always looking for some place to give. Why? There's so much money coming to me. Dear God, hallelujah. I'm just looking for a place to give. And you have to come to that place. Man, when it comes to giving time, glory to God, I can give. Hallelujah. I get to give something. Praise the Lord. See, that's practicing the Word. If we haven't given with joy, we haven't practiced the Word yet. So we're not going to be strong. See, I had to learn to find out that money was no more than a tool. It wasn't really, it's like a hammer. A hammer's great, but my dad used to be the guy that the hammer could be everything, you know. He would take a screw and hammer it. He wanted to take a bolt off. Well, just beat it hard enough with a hammer, we'll get it off. He was a guy, hammer it. Well, you know how things turned out. You know, he was a guy, you don't give him that. Hide the hammer. Dad's working on something. Hide the hammer. See, he didn't want to get another tool. He wanted to do it all with a hammer. That's the way Dad was. And he used to beat some things up. But it's just the way money's a tool. It can do certain things. But it's just a tool. And when I had to learn that's what money was, a tool. And the money was a tool to me, I could be very happy. Look, it can get you things and stuff, and that there's nice. But I found out and ran into the place that the Bible talked about, the joy of giving. And I know what it means now. It's better to give than receive. More blessed. I've heard that preached, but I don't see many preachers ever practice that because they're always trying to get the money. I want to tell you, it's more blessed. It's more blessed to give. It is. There's a blessing that comes about. There is a freedom. And that's what I had. I just never really had entered into the fullness of that. And when I started entering, it's like, my God, this stuff is true. This is a place that the Bible talks about. And it isn't just nice words on a page to be happy to give somebody something. That after a while, that's what you look for in life. How can I bless? See, my words won't get like God. I'm trying to bless my people all the time. God is in the blessing. We get like God, we get in the blessing business. We're always looking for a place to bless. We're always looking for a place to bless. The Lord said, the reason I give you so much revelation, because He said, you'll just go give it out. You'll just go. He said, many of my people, I give them revelation, they just keep it like it's for them. He said, you're a giver. He said, you get something, you'll give it to people. You'll hand it to them. And He said, that's why you get so much revelation, because you'll go give it to somebody. See, this principle is all, it's not just with money. It's all through this lifestyle about giving, this lifestyle. How can I bless? What can I do? How can I bless someone? I don't study the Bible just for me. I don't study the Bible so it can just be a brilliant. I want you to be brilliant geniuses. I study the Bible so I have something to give somebody. I want something. Spend time with God so I have something to give to somebody. Don't come along and, I mean, I can come up with 1,000 canned messages. My God. Come up with them anytime. You'll seek God to find out what you have to say today. They'll send you a book and have your messages out, 52 messages for the year. And that's what they do. And loads of preachers got them. They got their 52 messages for the year. I mean, what do you think these ministers do? And every time they call over Lent and all that kind of stuff and going from all that, from Christmas on through, every year you go to their church and sit down, it's the same messages. Every time, the whole way through, till we get to, my word, the ascension came, praise God, maybe we'll hear something. Maybe then we'll find out what the news media has to say on it next. You know, then they'll come and tell you what the news media's been saying. But you go, it's on the canned sermons. It's the whole way through. And they'll say, we preach the Word of God. Oh, yeah? Word of God fills 4 pages of the Bible. That's it. You got it. Gave you the 4 pages, and next year we'll give you another 4 again. That's as far as it goes. And then the bottom line is this, no matter what you do, God's in control. You're probably a dead man. That's the bottom line on it. Jesus died on the cross to kill you. Hallelujah. You know what? Thank God He did kill Ed. He killed that old man. That nut that lived on the inside. That nut that dominated and ruled. And He killed him and gave him a new life. Gave him a new spirit. Thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the only killing Jesus did. And that was the best that you could have ever got. Hallelujah. When He killed that knucklehead that you were living with, man, I'm going to tell you what. Thank God the old man don't come back. The old man never comes back. He's dead and he's gone. That old nature of sin is gone. We're children of God. God gave us so much. Like Brother Hagin used to say, God's given us, He's putting $1,000,000 in our checking account and we keep writing $10 checks. And in a sense, that's what we have done spiritually. God has given the church so much and the church keeps acting like we're nothing. You know, I used to hear it preached as a kid. They used to say things like this, God really don't need you. Isn't that really great? My daddy don't need me. They used to think that was humility. That was stupidity. God don't need you. You know, he saved you because, you know, he's a nice guy, but he don't like you probably at all. If he don't need you, he don't like you probably, you know. Good chance. And they used to try to get me to love God talking like that. And they used to think, you know, God really don't like you, don't really care about me anyhow. I was a kid and used to listen to that. See, I hope you don't talk that stuff around kids and don't talk to them. Because I'm going to tell you what, they hear it and repeat it. You know, I was born and raised in the church, you know, God was always out to get you. You did anything wrong, God heard you. And today I'd like to say back to people who have said that, yeah, and He heard what you just did too. And He liked it a lot less than what He heard out of me. Like God's just out to get you. Like God's out to thump you. I really thought that as a kid. I thought, man, I'll tell you what, I was always looking over my shoulder for a lightning bolt. That's all we were told, you know. You did something wrong. You did something wrong. God's going to get you. If God don't get you, Dad will. And you don't want Mama to get you. I'll tell you what. If you push her to the point of wrath, you're in real trouble. Mama was hard to get to the point of wrath, but when she arrived there, I'll tell you what, you stay away from the long arm of law. My mama was about this tall. And I was a mighty woman, let me tell you. She could grab a hold of your arm, and I don't tell you what, I watched grown men already. My mom would grab a hold of their arm, and they could not get her to release. I'm going to tell you, she had a hand grip like a vice, and we knew that as kid. If you did something bad, you stayed at least 12 to 15 feet away from mama. Because on a short jump, she could get at you. And on a distance, I could outrun her. But I'll tell you, on that short run, mama would have you. Hallelujah. But actually, we went to church, and we were preached that was God. He's going to get you. He's going to get you. That's what he is. And I figured if God's going to get you, the short run don't matter. You can stay as far as you want away. He's going to kill you. That's it. But you have these things preached to you. And the church was given to by Jesus Christ the authority in the earth to whatever we bind on earth would be bound in heaven, to whatever we loosed on earth would be loosed in heaven. Glorious. I really do. I think it was so glorious, people didn't believe that could possibly be true. That couldn't possibly be true. They say, we believe the Word of God, but I'll tell you what, with all the crazy other doctrines around, how do you fit that one in? There's no place for that. So let's put this one over here. You know, this is the honest truth. I never knew I sat in church service as a kid. I mean, my parents would have us in church all the time. In the wintertime, they'd have revivals, and so they had a church chain, a number of churches. So out of all the churches, they would run two-week revivals, and we would go to church almost every day of the week for months. And I never heard, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. I heard about the judgment, the lightning's going to kill you, God's after you and that stuff, he's in control, he killed sister so-and-so for a reason, and that's all we heard all the time was coming out of the church. We heard all those things. And then they would throw the icing on the cake and say, God loves you. And by that time, you're on the floor underneath the pew, and you're dying. And he says, God loves you. Quit loving me, God. I don't need anymore. Please don't love me anymore. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Have any of you sat in churches like that? You ever heard that stuff? Oh, my words. If you were born and raised down through these areas at my age, man, a lot of that was going on. I mean, that's what you heard. Hallelujah. But they didn't know. But thank God, you know, I think to their own understanding and idea, they love God. These people were saved, born again, but they weren't taught the right stuff. And God came and visited in spite of all that nonsense. But one of the reasons God visited was for this reason. The church that I was in and raised as a kid, in the 1950s, the healing revivals came to those churches. Now, it didn't come because of them. They didn't bring it. They couldn't have brought it because they didn't know how to do anything to bring it. It was men like Oral Roberts and those ones who believed God and ones that walked. It goes back to the turn of the century, actually the 1900s. It was those people back there that began to seek God, that they wanted a move of God, and they wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I want to let you know this. There's no church that doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost that is going to bring this revival in. Oh, they'll get to experience stuff with it, but they can't bring it in. Because the demonstrations of the Spirit come through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The churches that don't, but you can't bring it in. That's why there's always God, and that's why I talk about this remnant thing. See, there must be a remnant. There has to be a remnant of people who are going to stick with what's true and go after what's true because they can bring it in. Back in the early 1900s, a remnant of the church brought the great revivals in that happened. And they're the reason that the great healing revival of the 1950s took place in America. It spread around the world, but it took place here, but it came out of a remnant of people, and it came out of the Spirit-filled churches. It can't come out of the churches that don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Can't come out of them, because it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that brings the demonstrations of the Spirit. Did that help you understand is why a lot of the Spirit-filled churches can't bring this stuff in? They've been hiding the things of the Spirit. They've been putting them aside. They don't want to bring these things. They don't want the tongues out in the church public again. They don't want to. I'm sorry. That's the stuff that we need to have to bring to pass to allow the Holy Spirit to start to bring in the manifestations of the Spirit. We have to have them. That's why we're moving this direction. Somebody wants to move and say, well, I don't think we need that. Well, we're going different directions. There's many people even among the main Rhema groups. I'm going a different direction than they are. I'm not going where they're going. They can go and do whatever they want to do. I'm heading in a direction here because what I want to bring a move of this. I want to be partial and party to bring in a move of the Spirit because the world needs it. We can pray about it all we want, but our doing, our doing is going to bring this thing to pass. If we won't allow the Holy Spirit to manifest Himself, we won't allow Him to. We want to keep all this nice little, because you know, we're afraid, oh, some people ain't going to like it. Some people don't ain't gonna like it. I speak in tongues. I don't even care anymore. They don't like I speak in tongues. They can say it's of the devil. We're going to have the proof when it's all over. I mean, there's plenty of people in heaven today who found out when they got there that they were wrong, that tongues was not of the devil. Their thinking was. They were preaching doctrines of devils, telling people not to be filled with the Spirit. People are telling people not to go to talking in tongues and don't do that stuff. That is doctrines of devils. That's against the Word of God. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is from heaven, hallelujah, for demonstration and manifestation of the Spirit. That's what it's for. And if people don't get full of the Holy Ghost, they can't come. There has never been a revival, a healing revival or anything like that that's ever taken place in the world without it coming through people yielding to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's how it comes. People have this idea, God will do because they really love the Lord. You may really love the Lord, but be very ignorant of it, you know. You may really love the Lord, but if you're ignorant, don't know how He works, loving Him ain't going to get you much. I'm convinced that the people, as far as they understood, I went to church with, loved the Lord, as far as they knew. But man, they sure couldn't bring anything. They were shocked as anybody when they had a girl get healed that I knew for years in the church. They just went, but what they did is they did practice the Word. The first time I've ever seen it take place in their entire church group, they anointed a person with oil for healing. And the person got healed. They didn't get instantly healed. In fact, the next Sunday they came into church walking. She was crippled. She had polio. She walked into church the next week and they were all shocked. My God! She's walking. So I understood this as I got into the faith teaching something. They had no faith for that healing at all. God did that in spite of them. But see, what she did was she asked for the elders of the church to anoint her with oil, and they did. See, she acted in line with the Word of God. God did it for her, not for them. Larry Weick, who went home to be with Jesus, but Larry used to have to, they had him on these, what are those drugs, steroids. And because of MS, they gave him steroids, and I mean huge amounts of them. They used to do that years ago, give people huge amounts of steroids and stuff. And Larry Weick used to take those steroids. Well, one thing about those steroids, quitting him, you got to really wean a person off of them. They say, because if you try to take a person and just stop them, just immediately, they'll die. Most people, it'll kill them. Well, not most people, doctors will tell them, don't you do it. So Larry said he was going to quit using them. The doctor said, well, you can't do that. That'll kill you. Larry said, I'm going to quit using them. He said, I'm going to call for the elders of the church. Now, this I know. Larry at that time had gotten really born again and saved, and he was going to a church here in London. I don't believe the minister or any of them were saved. I don't. They were, because the flaky stuff they believed, they were really pretty carnal people. And anyhow, but Larry read and had in the Word to call the elders of the church, anointing with oil. So Larry called for the elders of the church. And so he wanted to be anointed with oil because he's going to quit taking these steroids. You know, he wanted to get off of them because, you know, finding out that these steroids are going to kill him one way or the other. If he keeps taking them, what they're going to do is going to mess him up so much. So Larry called for the elders of the church, and these guys come out and anointed him with oil. Now Larry believed, he said, well, you know, what they did is they came out and did this for Larry. They did it for him. They had no more belief in it. They come out and did it for him. And they anointed him. And Larry, cold turkey, stopped the steroids and never had any effect whatsoever. I mean, the doctors were astounded. You're taking them. You can't just stop them like that. He said, no, I'm not taking them anymore. But see, that was done on Larry's faith. It wasn't done. They called for the elders of the church. Larry operated by faith and did what the Bible said. And my God, it worked. See, that's why this acting on the Word is so important. going and just doing it. See, everybody wants perfect circumstances. Now, a lot of people come along and say, and I know I've heard preachers say this, there's things that I've done sometimes people thought of as crazy. Oh, you shouldn't do that. You don't have to do it this way. You know, that it's dangerous, you know, and that stuff. Larry did something dangerous by faith. You know, if you ain't going to step off on a limb, you ain't going to ever see nothing great. If you always want a safe faith, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time on a safe faith. Faith ain't safe. Not naturally. It's not safe. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you want to have a safe faith, I don't know how you'd have it. Because you're going to have to walk in the unseen realm to walk in faith. That's what Larry did. Larry walked in the unseen place. He said, I don't have to take those drugs anymore, and I won't die if I quit. And he walked in the place of the unseen, and you know what? He got it. He got the unseen. He got the unseen. The unseen became the seen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, we need to come back into these things. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I don't know why the Holy Ghost really had me go in a different direction this morning. But there's things, I tell you, God's leading us. I'm in great expectation of a move of God. That's just going to blow things out. Hallelujah. We're stepping into a place, and God wants us to step into a place where, man, we're after Him more than anything. We need a move of God. Randall Greer said this, and I want to say this to you concerning his telling you that vision. That thing is not going to happen just because God wants to do it. The Lord told him concerning the vision. He said, pray for these things to come to pass. Pray for these things to come to pass. There's things that if they're not judged, it's going to keep people out and away from God if things don't get judged. Hallelujah. We want people to come, but I want the whirlwind, man. I don't have anything else. I think that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do today. Hallelujah. Well, there might be something coming here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Okay. Hallelujah. We'll go ahead and give that to me, Lord. Brashkina na kayatoshkema, velfle deskeba da kila kasteda fritu kishina, le legida vrate boshna mamanyano, kalaketana mofita, le breko te shile kato sessa sakutia, vrate geshina mamakia porashkeba da te frune, ile kere kaboshkambari atu kushindia. For I brought you to this place, and I brought you to come and hear, and your hearing, and in your hearing, you have been listening intently, and there's been a great desire to know what is true and what's right. Yes, and if you have sought and you've searched and you've looked to see, is it true or is it not true? Yes, yes, and I admire your diligence. I admire what you have done in your search and in your looking because you have desired to know what's true and what's right. Yes, and now in these last days, we've come to the place. We've come to the place where much looks like it's going in the wrong direction. But I say to you, fear not, do not be afraid. Don't worry about these things, for I have a plan that I have set forth, says the Lord, and that plan is going to come to pass, and it will happen. Yes? And you are part of that plan. For I put you in this place, in this time, in this hour, because I've given you a place, hallelujah, where my hand will be upon you, and you will be used in this day and in this time. For I have been preparing you for many years before. I have been working in you and getting things ready. And sometimes you've thought, oh, my, it seems like I'm going more backward than I am going forward. But I say, says the Lord, I will bring you into that place that I've called you, and you will stand in that place and that I've called you, and my glory shall be revealed, and you will be ready in this time, and you will be a great help to many. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you've walked and you've listened and you've comprehended and you've understood and you have went for what is right and not moved off of it. And my, the day has come for my great reward shall be yours, says the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.